call the regular meeting of the Blue Valley County Board of Supervisors to order. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Now we'll adopt the agenda for the meeting. Are there any recommended changes or other updates?
So just one note on item 11. Well, I added item 11 as a new business item, just as an information item to the board about the carryover funds. Okay. So it's on there. There's nothing in your package. We can send you the slides after. These are estimated numbers we're going to give you today, just sort of ballpark.
All right. Do I have a motion?
So made to include the correction add-on on new business carryovers.
Second.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Eager. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 4-0. Mr. O'Brien absent. All right, Mr. Nichols. Oh, hang on. Before we do that, let's go with the special presentation.
Oh, sure.
Nichols.
Sorry, I did not have my slides set for that slide. So we've got, board, if you can join me up front here, please. We've got a couple quick presentations to do tonight. One for a long-serving member in Nevada County that serves on boards and commissions in our county. And so we'd like Mr. Gary Ellis to please join us up here in front.
Yes, sir. We're going to put you right in the middle, sir.
Always in the middle.
Mr. Ellis is a long-serving member in our community, and wanted to just take time to recognize him today. This is a certificate from the County of Savannah, Commonwealth of Virginia. Takes pleasure in awarding this certificate of appreciation to Gary Ellis for 25 years of dedicated service to the citizens of Savannah County, serving as both member and chairman of numerous boards vital to our local government. Mr. Ellis served on the Board of Equalization for 6 separate terms, 5 as the chairman of that board, where his work touched every landowner in the county. During 12 of those years, Mr. Ellis also served as a member of the Savannah Social Services Board, again accepting a leadership role by serving 6 years as chairman. In addition to these 2 demanding board positions, Mr. Ellis served as a member of the committees to study alternatives, alternative funding resources, and alternative water resources. His work for Savannah County was in keeping with the highest traditions of volunteer service, and the Board of Supervisors formally thanks him for his lengthy and dedicated service. Signed, John M. Sheridan, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Board, I need you to stay up front for just a moment.
Got nothing.
Stay up front for just one moment. We have one more unannounced, and figured I'd catch you while you're all here. This one is for one of the supervisors, and I'll keep you in suspense. This is from the Virginia Association of Counties Supervisor Service Award. VACO recognizes Moselle H. Booker, Flavanna County, on November 12, 2017, for 10 years of dedicated service to county government. And I think it's your 10th year anniversary of being elected as a supervisor. So Signed, Dean Lynch, the VACO Executive Director.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you can sit down.
Look it over there.
Okay, Mr. Nichols, you can keep right on going.
Okay, just a couple quick things to report. Let's see, the new food bank building, the first of the largest of the three buildings. There's two new ones and then one reused building. The large one has been delivered, is on site, has been set in. Actually looks very nice on site, and the site prep was done really well. So if you drive down to Carriageport, you can see where the new building's on site already. And the food bank has that new one on site, which is great. And Public Works has been working with them to get that coordinated. And then the next next building will be delivered sometime soon, I expect. The second annual Quad County Business Summit was today at Spring Creek. There were about 200 attendees, and Mr. Smith was the chair this year for that event, coordinated by the four different counties. And three of our supervisors showed up for that and this morning, and I appreciate it very much. Stephen Murray from the Virginia Economic Development Partnership did a great talk first thing this morning. And Jason said that there were still about well over 100 people there for lunch, and lunch went long because the panel discussion went long, and people really enjoyed it and had a great time today. So
Chris,
really great event.
Chris Fairchild was one of the panelists.
Right, yes, yeah. And we had a business person from each of the four counties, and so it was a really good event, and pleased for Fluvanna County to host it, and then it'll roll to, I think it might be Orange next year, Green. So, and Fruit Hill Orchards are in our business spotlight up Highway 53. Do some great business there and have lots of things for families to do and to teach children about how our food comes from farms to tables and some great products there at the orchard. So check out Fruit Hill Orchard on Highway 53. And just a reminder, we've got your regular meetings coming up, but it's also getting closer to budget season too. And you're going to have some, I think you'll have a couple dinners coming up. One is the Cooperative Extension Dinner. That's next meeting at 5:30 in the Morris Room. We'll get this on your calendars tomorrow, but it'll be at 5:30 in the Morris Room before your 7:00 regular meeting. And that's the annual dinner with the Cooperative Extension. I assume we'll have one with the Interagency Council folks sometime coming up. Did we set on a date for that, Kim? The dinner? With Interagency Council?
They're going to talk more about that in the meeting.
Okay. Just presence would be good. And then just your regular meetings in November 1st and the 15th. And then the budget season for you all really kicks off in December, because at your December 6th meeting, we'll have a preliminary budget discussion that night to talk about your hopes and desires and aims and directions for a budget as I work on preparing the budget presentation for you for February. By that time, we'll have gotten some information back from most of the departments and have been through most of the CIP process. So any questions I can answer for the board?
Nope.
Caught me in the middle of the button.
Sorry.
Mrs. Eager and I went to the session this morning on millennials. Mm-hmm. Is that we have to learn how to understand millennials. I mean, you know, they may be on the board one day.
The difference is they know how to use their thumbs.
That's yeah. Right.
They like were going to have one on centennials, but.
yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
I couldn't work my thumbs.
All right. I'll now open the first round of public comment. Anyone wishing to address the board should come to the podium and state your name and address. Please remember to keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct it to the board. Is there anyone wishing to speak at this time? One twice. I'll now close. Seeing no one, I'll now close the first round of public comment. We have no public hearings, so we'll go down to action matters. We'll now move to action matters at tab S. Ratify advertisement of the proposed sale of the county real property formerly known as the Columbia Elementary School. Mr. Dahl.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, at our last public hearing when we discussed both the former Cunningham and Columbia Elementary School, information was brought forward from our Urbana Canine Services and their increased offer for $85,000 for that school. The board At that time, wanted to consider both offers for Mr. and Mrs. Hilsinger and the Ribana Canine Services, and then the board requested that we advertise a public hearing to consider Ribana Canine Services offer as well. So we already put the advertisement out. It's going to be going out in the Fluid Interview tomorrow. We had to get that in time to be able to do the public hearing on October 18th, and this is just to ratify that advertisement.
All right, any questions from the board? Do we have a motion?
I move the Board of Supervisors ratify advertisement of a public hearing to be held on October 18th, 2017, for the proposed sale of the county's real property known by current street numbering as 563 Wilmington Road, Palmyra, Virginia, and also known as the former Columbia Elementary School, to Ribana Canine Services, LLC, a Virginia limited liability company, for the purchase price of $85,000 pursuant to their proposal to purchase the property dated June 12, 2017, as modified by negotiations made in response to the county's request for proposals 2016-02, sale of county property, Columbia Elementary School, former 563 Wilmington Road, Palmyra, Virginia, 22963, as amended.
Do we second. We have a motion made by Ms. Seeker, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. We will now move on to action matter tab T, the ratification of advertisement of temp ordinance change to move the central absentee precinct location. Mr. Payne?
Mr. Chairman, this is a in the nature of a temporary amendment to the county code to accommodate the central absentee precinct for the coming November election. As you know, the normal place set by county code for that is the historic courthouse, but the historic courthouse is being used for other purposes at this point, so it's not available for this purpose. The ordinance would amend the county code temporarily to make the Weaver Building the site of that precinct. In your packet, it's described as an emergency ordinance. It is not an emergency ordinance. It's being advertised in due course. The reason you're hearing this is because of the need to get it scheduled for your next meeting so it can be advertised two successive weeks. When I say it's a temporary ordinance, it has an expiration date on it. We made the expiration date the 31st of December. It'll probably be the 8th of November. It's just for this election. But this will not end up being spread out in the county code because it's a temporary ordinance that does have an inherent expiration date.
Please use the motion on the screen.
Any questions? All right, do we have a motion?
I
move to ratify advertisement of a public hearing to be held on October 18, 2017 concerning an ordinance revision entitled An Ordinance to Amend Chapter 2, Article 2, Section 2-2-3B of the Fluvanna County Code of designate as the central absentee voting precinct, the Weaver Building, Palmyra, Virginia, in place of the historic courthouse for any election from November 1st, 2017 until December the 31st, 2017.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Booker, seconded by Ms. Seeger. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. We'll now move on to tab U. FY18 Social Services request to add new Human Services Assistant 3 position. Ms. May, if you would join us.
She's slowing things down.
I'm telling you right now, you're killing me, Ms. May. Killing Ms. Mullins. You're killing me. How you doing, dear?
Good. Thank you, members of the board, for giving me this opportunity. I'm here to present our request to add an additional Human Services Assistant 3 position. And so just a little bit of background, the General Assembly this year approved $5 million for Virginia Department of Social Services to add additional family services specialist positions. And once they divvied out that money to all the agencies, Fluvanna County got $12,000. And so the permanent allocation of this year, this was on the consent agenda in August for us to accept the $12,000 this year. We got permission from the Virginia Department of Social Services, since we ain't done enough of an allocation to support a full position, to use it in other ways to support family services. So for this fiscal year 18, we used the funds to purchase laptop computers for the family services workers. And we had the idea that for next year, fiscal year 19, we really wanted to look at adding a human services assistant position, who basically would be a position with family services specialist. Their positions are with Child Protective Services, Adult Protective Services, Foster Care. And these are very crisis-driven positions that require workers to be out of the office a lot. And with the state continuing to add more and more paperwork, mandates, data entry into the state systems, and then especially with all of the CSA requirements and CSA paperwork and CSA mandates, it's really too much for our services workers to manage everything. And so the addition of this position would allow this person to help the services workers with their paperwork and the important things that tend to get put on the back burner. And, you know, one of the things I think about is CSA audits. And I know 3 years ago, we faced the possibility of having to pay back a lot of money because of some missing paperwork. And so this is something that our services workers struggle with every day. It's, do you go out on a serious call, or do you get your CSA paperwork done and your purchase orders? And so if we had a position that could really help, and I put together some job duties, but it would be a position that would be responsible for actually doing the purchase orders, tracking the invoices when they come in, tracking the paperwork, making sure that what needs to get done is getting done and is getting to the CSA office. So a big part of this, I really want this position to focus on CSA, but in addition, there'll be other responsibilities as well. So, and I presented my idea at the Social Services Board at the July meeting, and then I brought it up in a Community Policy Management Team meeting, which is a CSA team. And everyone was really in support of the idea and suggested, and then we had a meeting between some of the key players, and we decided that instead of waiting until next year, that we really could use this position now. And I think our services staff is really in a position where they need the support now. And I put together some amounts and what the annual salary would be, and what it would be for the remainder of fiscal year 18. And we can draw down a federal match, not the state match, because we've already allocated the state money this year for laptop computers. But in looking at fiscal year 19, we can apply the $12,000 of the state funds. And then after that, we can pull down a federal match, and we're looking at needing $19,166 for fiscal year 19 to support this position. And I really think it would make a big difference in future CSA audits and just easing the workload for our services workers so that they can concentrate on the more important work of keeping our vulnerable citizens safe.
Any questions?
Yes, you say the federal, they're going to make up that difference of the $12,000?
Are you looking at fiscal year 18 or 19?
19.
So for fiscal year 19, we can draw down $12,000 state funds and the federal will contribute $9,873, which leaves $19,166 that the locality would need to pick up.
So can we pick that up next year?
That's what I'm asking.
Uh-huh.
Well, no, you will get the $12,361.
Right.
And the $9,800.
Right.
But the request is to use part of the budget savings this year to start the position
now. I understand
now,
that,
but
yeah.
then budget for it for next year.
Next year, that's what I'm concerned about, next year.
Yeah. When the budget is written, we'll have to build into the budget this new position and the 19166.
That's where I was going.
Right, that's right.
Okay.
And I will say, I think 19,000 is a drop in the bucket compared to what we could end up having to pay back if our CSA audit doesn't come back in good shape. Mm-hmm. And I think that this position would make a huge impact on our CSA compliance.
Other social service places, do they have this human services person? I know we met one when we went to the CSA. The lady was a human services person for Albemarle, I believe.
Most social service agencies do have these positions. I don't know of any other social service agency other than us where service workers do their own purchase orders and invoices.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, most agencies have a position like that does that for them.
And as a person that sits on the management team, I see the paperwork and I know what a hassle it is when things are missing. So I totally agree that would be something. And that's probably a position that I think we're going to find out that we should have had that a good while ago. It may even help us retain some workers, because that paperwork is tremendous. And when you, and I know how much you all go to court, go to visit, follow up, judge, tell you, you have to do those things. You are accountable. So I really support the position.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Yep.
I'm on the service, mm-hmm. Social Service Board. And I do believe this is something that would help the community.
Necessary?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I move the Board of Supervisors approve the addition of a permanent human services assistant to a position for social services with the $15,492 in FY18 local match funds to come from existing FY18 social services personnel budget vacancy savings.
Second.
Motion's made by Ms. Eager, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Thank you, Ms. Mabry.
Excuse me, Chair. And then I think if that person is hired soon, we may be able to evaluate her services. No, because this budget is
well, when
coming
CSA comes through, we'll know one way or another when the CSA audit comes through. I hate to say it that way, but if they can save us on one case, that's paid for itself. All righty. Tab B, FY17 year-end budget transfer convenience center. Oh, we're right up your alley here, Mr. Weaver. Mr. Wayne Stevens.
Now, there you go.
Hold on.
Ann,
Mary Ann. I'm sorry, Mary
Ann. Okay, the smart one is going to talk. So.
Wow.
Good evening. I'm here tonight to discuss the budget transfer from General Services to the Convenience Center. The Convenience Center is currently under budget $18,675 for FY17, and the majority of that was due to scale repair costs and also an increased unit price of Allied Disposal to haul away the garbage and also refrigerant reclamation. There's all kinds of rules and laws about how you have to do that. So we are asking to transfer $18,675 from General Services to the Convenience Center to cover that overage for FY17.
What are we charging a ton now?
It's $8 a load for the person coming in.
Yeah, but there's a tonnage charge also.
It's $8 plus.
It was $30 total with $8 minimum.
$30 a ton.
I think that's right.
I thought it was much more than that. I'm just asking how competitive it is and whether, since you have a deficit of that much this year, you might want to look at, say, adding a dollar to each one of the loads or something to make up for it.
I think that's a good idea. And the other thing that we're looking into is increasing, right now I think it's $10 to dump any appliance.
Appliance, yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Most appliances don't need anything done to them other than being disposed of, but refrigerators and freezers have refrigerant in them, and it's actually quite expensive to reclaim that in a legal manner.
I know it
and
is.
And we are, of course, bearing that cost. So I think another thing that we're looking at recommending is potentially a at least modest increase in the cost of dumping refrigerators and freezers at the landfill. Leave the other appliances alone, but make it,
Seemed to me it was someplace in the neighborhood of, a ton, like $57 a ton?
Could be. We'll give you some figures for a
budget.
You know what? You might be right.
Yeah, I think I am. Someplace in that neighborhood, like 57
at a time. Take household trash. We collect a lot of 8 to $12.
Sure you do.
Ours is 57 a ton.
Yeah.
$8 minimum per vehicle per visit, and $57 a ton.
Right, and then I guess we can work on this in the new budget coming.
Right, we'll give you some comparison figures through budget season to show you what it is and make some recommendations.
We did have a couple of issues with the landfill cap itself that we had to repair that is included in this budget overage, because even though this is the convenience center budget, the closed landfill budget really covers the cost of the consultant that we have to hire to do the testing. The actual maintenance of the cap and the mowing and stuff that get done is still buried in the convenience center budget. So part of this overage, if you want to consider it, is due to the old landfill itself. And we did have some additional repairs beyond what we normally expect on the scale. Repair Max Morse man told Mr. Opie, I think the last time he was here, that it's the oldest Fairbanks Morse scale that they have left in the Commonwealth of Virginia. So we are also looking into the cost of a new truck scale. Those are quite pricey. So what we may want to also do is look at potentially coming up with a different pricing structure for having people dump trash, since most people dump small loads.
We're sure they do.
Sort of a truck load cost of, you know, if a truck with a trailer on it costs as a flat fee kind of thing.
So they could bring in maybe 2 tons for the price of 1 ton, maybe,
well,
or something like
some
that.
Some people may end up doing that, but if you set the minimum price correctly, like, you know, if it's the absolute.
Like the $8 or something, what's the minimum dollar?
For $15 for any container or something, then you, unless somebody's bringing you a bunch of lead, you can probably set the pricing so that you can more or less get roughly the same amount of money for the same amount of trips.
And the consultant fees are about the same that they've been for the last couple of years. We talked about this before.
3% every year, but they're more or less the same, yes, sir.
Okay.
I can tell you that Vanderlyn only charges $5 for a pickup truck.
Okay.
So that's all right, because maybe the people north of the county would be taking it
there
anyway.
Yeah, we use it in the western
our
part of the county.
Our down at the community center steadily for the last
southern part
year.
Of the county.
The,
well, it's
revenue's
the
gone
western
down.
Side, you might say, wouldn't you? East would be towards the ocean and west towards California?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Or the Blue Ridge, whichever one you want
to
do.
There's a lot more county waste and other companies that actually do trash pickups around the county now than there ever used to be. So the convenience center usage is going down as far as revenue collection. But you've got, you know, Vanderlyn in the north part of the county, and now you see trash cans in the hinterlands that you didn't used to see.
So places like Vanderlyn get most of their revenue from the trash haulers.
Yeah.
Now, our convenience center, by county code or county policy at any rate, we don't have commercial haulers bringing anything in. And that's because we're a convenience center. We actually have to pay a commercial hauler to haul the stuff away when it gets to the convenience center. So it's an issue that probably needs to be looked at over the coming years to see.
Have those rates gone up? Commercial haulers that takes the trash out of our landfill, or are they staying?
Yes, sir. The unit cost to take things away went up a few percent. 10% this past year, and that caused us a little bit, caught us a little bit by surprise. But to be honest with you, the refrigerant disposal was a big issue. I don't know
right.
why, but we got literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of refrigerators at the landfill this past year.
What?
More than we normally get. So.
Well, I guess people need some place to dump them out.
Yes, sir. Other than beside the road or the end of a cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
And if you go to Texas, you'll see them up and down the streets lined up all over our appliances, refrigerators, and things like that. And I have a feeling that maybe some of the picker-uppers are moving them to other localities.
You know,
and so we may be seeing some dregs of that.
You have to kind of play a balancing act with this kind of thing. Because if you charge the actual cost of recovering the refrigeration and disposing of the refrigerator, probably going to price yourself to the point where a lot of people are going to take the decision to either dump it somewhere else or ram a screwdriver into the condenser and release the refrigerant into the atmosphere and then bring it to the landfill and say, hey, look, it broke. It doesn't have any refrigerant in it. So that's the balance that we're going to have to look at when we try to reprice the disposal. But we definitely, I think, need to charge more than we are because it's the refrigerators cost us a good bit of money once someone dumps them there. A stove makes no difference.
Yeah.
It just goes in a crusher somewhere and someone gets the scrap metal cost for it ultimately. But
could you price just the refrigerator a little bit different?
Yeah, that's why I was thinking about doing general appliances would be one price. State would probably stay the same, and then refrigerators we would have some kind of a price hike on, hopefully modest.
Sure.
Thanks, Mr. Stevens.
Could I have one question for Mr. Stevens?
Absolutely.
Hey, Mr. Stevens, what do you do you have the haulers take away your recyclables?
Yes.
It's
we have a recycling hauler and we have a trash hauler. And
and do they charge you to haul the recycling?
You know what, I don't want to answer definitively. Some of it, yes, but I think there are certain things like the waste oil and antifreeze that they do not charge to take away because they make money on the backside.
How about the paper recycle? Do they charge for that?
I don't think so.
I don't think they do either. But I forgot.
I think the metal we have to pay for. The cost of metal is pretty low, and or the scrap metal is pretty low right now. And you know, I don't think people need to bring. Just haul it away and scrap it, but I will look into it and get an answer for you on which specific recyclables we pay to have taken away and which ones we don't.
Yeah, because Vanderlyn does the recyclables, that's free. So
yeah, we've talked about a dozen times in the last 6 or 7 years about putting this out to bid and seeing if there's a commercial company that wants to come take that over and hire our staff to continue to operate it. And so that it's kind of off our rolls, and we don't have to worry about it. It's contracted, except for the old dump itself. We have to monitor that. And so we can take a look at that again if you want, for us to see if somebody's interested. I've talked to Pete Vanderlyn about it multiple times before, but we can't just go to him and say, hey, do you want to do it? We'd have to put it out as a request for proposals.
And the other thing is that the scope of work on something like that is very difficult to define, because right now we actually take brush and yard debris, biological debris, and we can't burn it at a burn pile, which we are allowed to do. I don't think a commercial hauler can light a fire without having some kind of permit from the state. So that would be a service that we would have to retain or we'd have to cut it off. And then we are always going to have the cost of maintaining the landfill itself, which is down there in the same location as the convenience center. So even if we contract with Vanderlyn to take care of things, we're still going to have costs associated with basically no income coming in to attempt to offset it. So it's definitely an issue, but it's one we haven't really been able to delve too deeply into yet. And
okay.
Because of this, we'll definitely be getting a little bit into it in the coming budget.
You ready for a motion?
I am.
Mr. Chair, I move the Board of Supervisors approve a FY17 budget transfer of $18,675 from the general service budget to the convenience center budget to cover overages in personal costs, contract services, and storage billing replacements.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Eager. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. I will now read the consent agenda items.
Have fun.
Next up is the consent agenda. W, minutes of September 20th, 2017. Ms. Harris. X, Domestic Violence Awareness Month proclamation, Ms. Harris. YZ, open space contract application, Albertson, Mr. Sheridan. A, open space contract application, Carter and Hughes, Mr. Sheridan. B, open space contract application, Ward Revocable Trust, Mr. Sheridan. C, open space contract application, Ward, Mr. Sheridan. D, open space contract application, Wilson, Mr. Sheridan. E, Department of Health agreement, Ms. Toller. F, staff implementation bonus, grant, Mr. Grandstaff. G, CRMF request, division maintenance of fire extinguishers, Mr. Stribling. H, CRMF request, FCHS baseball bleacher replacement, Mr. Stribling. I'm sorry, I'm gonna be quiet now. I, CRMF request, FCHS tenant court repairs, Mr. Stribling. J, CRMF request, transportation bus one motor, Mr. Stribling.
You got that?
Yes, sir. Where are we pulling?
I just want to talk about H and I.
Okay, well, I can tell you about H. Mr. Stribling's not here, but I can tell you we have. Okay, you can talk about I. I'll talk about H real quick. This should have been done a long time ago. They bought us four sets of bleachers. Both sets of bleachers are the same height. Both sets of bleachers are the same height. You can have three people sitting. You can have people sitting in the front section of bleachers, back section of bleachers. It doesn't do you any good. So I'm guessing they're going to actually get some that you can get above the above the dugout and see a little bit. So that I have no. That's the first thing I've heard. That's the first thing that I've heard of it, but to see a baseball game at the new place is awful. Is wonderful.
Yeah, I've had to go by and see them because I was wondering why they were going to give it to the girls if they weren't
They're in good shape. They're brand new. Okay. But what
they're
bought.
They're taking the baseball bleachers and moving them to other fields, I think,
it has all that
softball,
in here.
Softball, probably tennis. Right.
It I says mean, all that.
The yeah. tennis courts, they've been sitting there for looking at them off of picnic tables.
Well, I understand. I guess, too, also, you're starting to, if I'm correct, the school capital reserve is present $308,536, and I assume that that is the one that you take the $36,200 off. Leaving the $272,336. Is that right? Am I on the right line?
Sure.
Okay. And then the I.
Yeah. So regarding I, the Savannah High School tennis court repairs. So I don't know the bunch of the details, but what I do know is there are cracks in the actual concrete and on the courts on the new tennis courts. Well, it was built in 2008-09, so fairly new considering. But so I guess, they have to repair those cracks, and then they're talking about resealing and painting those courts. And while they're doing that, they're also going to get, I guess, for economies of scale, get some upgrades, maybe not upgrades, but maintenance done on the high school track as well.
Yeah, Mike, is that the one you were talking about? That track? Was that the one we needed to repair?
Middle school track.
I'm referring to the middle school track, but I can tell you right now, if you walk across where you come in beside the concession stand, the track has already started to bubble. And it's a matter of time before that just breaks loose and starts to tear apart like the middle school one is. So I'm guessing that's what that
and
is.
In the middle school track, they did include that in the FY19 CIP for the middle school track to get redone and repaired and then renovated.
And all four of these CRM requests come off that total that's on the screen, the 308,536 that you had mentioned.
So we end up with $227,936, right?
Well, you'll see the
I mean, after you take those two off.
Well, there's four CRM requests.
All four of the school CRM requests will come off at 308.
Okay. I just took these two off.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you'll be down near 200,000 because I think the
motor is probably pretty good.
I think the motor was probably 20.
Yeah, it was expensive as well.
So okay.
Does anybody know what happened to the motor?
$8,000 for the
fire extinguishers?
Specifically, I don't know specifically what happened with Motorland. I can tell you what this is. What put in the request?
I know the official term.
Plus 38.
It broke.
Because the way it reads,
does it transport students or is it an extra bus?
No, I'm sure it's, I would imagine it's probably a...
The two buses that we've got, we use for athletics right now, are working.
Well,
they don't have an A on them anymore.
We should find out
they are not working.
What happened
they
to it, because either it got water in it or gas in it.
That's what it says.
But the report says
I
that
think it, says.
It had diesel in it. If it's diesel. A diesel truck and you put diesel in it, it's not going to corrode. So you might want to find out and make sure it doesn't happen again.
No, that's a school issue. We'll let the schools take care of that.
Okay.
I'll talk to the superintendent, and they really need to have something here every time they've got a CRM on, because they need to replace.
Ms. Johnson?
Ms. Johnson probably can't answer these questions, but I'll make sure the superintendent
has someone here. Slide down a little bit more.
And I couldn't answer the questions for these kind of things for RG. That's why we have experts.
I mean, that's the only reason I talk about the baseball bleachers. They're only three high, and you know, if you ever get the opportunity to host a playoff game, you're supposed to be able to seat, I think, 1,200 people. We can seat about 50.
Y'all finished?
I'm done.
I said acts domestic violence awareness month. We used to read those proclamations, and people would come with information about how is our domestic violence? Do we have a lot of domestic violence? Where do we stand in the community? And the proclamation is so, I guess it's the same one they have every year, but it just reminds you of the shelter, the shelter for, and how she would come all the day. She would do it during budget time, but to read it and let us know how many of our citizens are they serving, and maybe I just need to reach out and get that for myself.
Yeah, they have come before on certain proclamations like these, but they will definitely be included in the budget process, mm-hmm. and would normally talk about Savannah specific statistics when
right.
they do. So hopefully that will help. But a lot of these proclamations are really ceremonial for their end.
Right.
And so they come in and they don't have much background support for them, background for them, other than the terms that are there, and they post them in their offices. Mm-hmm. And
like with Child Abuse Month, I know that Social Services
they do some
come
stuff,
in
right.
and
sure.
talk to us. Okay. I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Do we have a second? Motion made by Ms. Booker and seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Is there any unfinished business? And new business, Mr.
Chairman, let me mention one item of this unfinished business, and this is the nature of good news. You will recall the conservation easement that was tendered for the Poplar Ridge property. The originals came in last week. I'm bringing it here to give to Mr. Stewart for the staff to go through the exercise of getting everything done and returned to the applicant for recording. So it should be recorded in the next week or so.
Good. So that's come through as a conservation easement. All righty. Now, Mr. Nichols, new business, or Mr. Dahl is going to be, I see you stepping up there.
Yeah, so just one thing to note. Title said carryover funds. It's not about carryover funds. It's just about year-end figures, preliminary year-end figures. Like I said, we're still working on getting, we're still getting in FY17 figures still, some revenue figures. So these are not final. They're kind of changing. We're still reconciling a lot of stuff. So it's just kind of a somewhere to review.
So repeat after Mr. Dahl. These are preliminary.
Yes.
Very preliminary.
Very good.
Okay, so as far as revenue, we have what we actually budgeted for fiscal year 17, what actually came in, and like I said, this category, we're just looking at revenue, and then if there was a surplus or a shortfall in revenue, we have all the categories over here, whether it's real estate, public service, personal property, mobile home, all the way down, and then we have kind of our preliminary figure at the bottom for money coming back to the general fund. Now, that 609 is low because this 384 under state categorical aid, that's the bulk of that has to do with CSA revenue. So we didn't get in as much CSA revenue because we didn't have as high CSA expenditures from what was originally appropriated. So that number is going to change and it's going to go up. But you can see we did, we came in higher on real estate and personal property. We came in lower on public service. If you look under other local taxes, we came in $432,000 higher than what was budgeted. About $348,000 of that had to do with local sales tax.
Which one was that?
About seventh one down, sir.
Okay.
Right here, $432,000.
Okay.
In that big category of other local taxes, our sales tax revenue came in higher by about $348,000. So that is included in the 432.
What happened to those big figures, $503,000?
So for public service, so when we go through the budget process, and maybe Commissioner Kim can talk about this too, but you get figures and we use the state corporation figures for public service corporations from the previous fiscal year. So when we're working on the budget process in December, we're using previous fiscal year figures because they don't come out with their current year figures until September of the current fiscal year. So when the current values come in for public service corporations, they came in lower than anticipated than when we were going through the budget process.
Why would that be? That much, I wonder. That's a big mess on that.
It's a big hit.
Half $1 million.
I don't know. He's looking back at it.
Mr. Dahl, Mr. Nichols, today, the numbers just came in about a week ago.
Yeah.
And that's very preliminary.
Yeah.
Numbers. So maybe that figure isn't maybe right. We might not have a $500,000 loss.
Well, no, but this is for fiscal year 17.
No, this is last year.
This is for fiscal year 17.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, these figures are pretty close to done. I think that's opposite of what we're talking about. In fiscal year 17, the value of public service corporation stuff went down.
Sure, so that would obviously.
That's why our revenues went down last year. This coming year may be totally different.
What? Now?
Yeah.
Yeah, public utility figures for the year 2018 have gone up over time.
Okay, good.
Yeah, right.
Good.
Yeah.
Right. So they're going up this year.
Right.
From where they were last year.
Yeah, but the revenue
this
that we
last
got,
year.
This is the revenue for last year.
Last year.
Last year. Like I said, we came in higher on real estate and personal property, and that's going to, primarily be due to one, that the tax increase that affects the taxes for the first half of taxes, which is actually the second half of the fiscal year, and then you don't have any increases in value.
Well, that's the reason to use conservative figures so that you don't overestimate your revenue.
Correct.
In future times.
And then under charges for services, we came in $116,000 higher. That's primarily all due to cost recovery. So, so from the revenue standpoint, that's where we are. Like I said, those numbers will come in. They're going to be creeping up from here as we finish recording all revenues for the fiscal year.
But that's one of the reasons why that December 6th meeting, when we talk preliminary budget, we're going to be showing you budget trends on revenues, because I want you to have a little bit of buy-in on what these revenue estimates are. When we're estimating revenues, it's based on what the commissioner reports. We look over multiple years. We try to figure out what the trends are and not get too aggressive.
Well, that's, in some cases, that's the thing.
With public service corporations, it's hard to know, because the state doesn't tell us until way after.
If you try to get to the exact penny, you're going to end up with some trouble.
Yes.
You know, right. And we have that leeway there, which
right.
I always am a proponent of.
Oh, I think so, too. I mean, if we tried to get closer than 600,000 on $70 million on revenue side, you better be really careful.
That's right.
It's easier to control the expenses side.
That's what he was talking about once before.
Yeah.
When we did budget last year.
Yeah.
Because it's happened like once or twice, correct?
It always worries me if we get up too tight with it.
We went up too much on expectations.
We always use the number that we have for the utilities for the previous year.
Right.
We don't try to estimate whether their value went up or down, because we don't have any way to anticipate. They do all the assessing, and they simply notify us.
But isn't it valued on 100% mail?
I'm sorry.
Isn't that valued on 100% from the power companies and all?
General reassessment?
Yeah.
Because this year, we had the 2017 reassessment. We're going to be right at 100%, yes, sir.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
96%, so.
Right.
Because you all have the foresight to reassess on, every 2 year basis. Doesn't slip very much, about 2% per year. It's been a lot more than that, and when we had higher growth, we were losing 7, 8, 9% per year. And whatever our ratio is what the public service courts pay. So if we're 97%, they only pay 97% of their bill, or 90% of their bill.
So what if it's 102%?
They only pay it's been as high as 129 in 2012, but they don't pay above 100, but they will pay less than 100.
Yeah, right. We know that.
I'd say having a cake and eating it, too.
One way, and it's in their face. So, y'all's decision to get this on a 2-year cycle
helps keep that from happening in a great way. Okay. All right, Mr. Dahl.
And then just looking at expenditures, and I just kind of gave you a summary based upon the function level of general government, judicial, public safety, public works, health and welfare, library, and parks and rec, community development, and then just miscellaneous, non-departmental. So everything came in under budget in those categories. You can see the big, primarily large categories are public safety and then health and welfare. And then health and welfare, that's primarily from social services and CSA.
It's like a CSA number.
Yeah, the CSA numbers, if we had higher expenditures, we're going to get in higher state revenue and stuff. I think social services, they came in under budget around $200,000. And then within public safety, you had probably about five or six departments that fall within there. And I think the sheriff, and I'm just using rough estimates, the sheriff was around 70, E911 came in under about 70.
Emergency management.
Emergency services were, I think, came in under about 70, and then fire and rescue came in under budget with insurance payments for the year about 50. So, and then a few oddballs right there. So, just looking at that, like I said, about 1.2, like you got to have. Like I said, there would be an offset for state revenue in there. And then finally, we're not still working on fiscal year end numbers for the schools, but what they had stated previously was about $1.2 million unexpended. So, and we have a similar slide here. So, just preliminary revenue, 609, expenditures, 1.2, brings you to around 1.8. That's going to be, plus or minus there, plus schools estimate. So, could be $3 million going back into fund balance. And if you look at the top here, our fund balance from previous was 4.4. So,
and that's not counting the your $8 million set aside. That's just unassigned fund balance.
Maybe we can reduce some debt on this.
We don't have much debt that we can, that we can pay off.
It's right too big.
We can.
Yeah. Well, it's either too big or you can't pay it off because of the provisions of it. Or you've already been aggressive on that and got most of those, which is good. That 1.2 estimate from the schools, now remember, their request is for $640,000 of that to be carried forward. That will be considered on a future budget.
If the board approves that.
That's right. That's their request, is $639,000 and some change out of that 1.2. And the 1.2 is a close-ish estimate. So.
And you know, we're working on numbers right now. We have our auditors coming for final audit the week of October 30th. So we're kind of wrapping everything up to get everything finalized by the time they get here.
And at that preliminary budget meeting in December, you'll also get a listing of kind of some budget pressures, stuff like you got to put some cash into the Zion Crossroads project. You got probably another $500,000 or more you're going to have to put into the JRWA because of the Corps of Engineers permit delays. You got a couple $100,000 still you got to spend on the fire hydrants on that side of the county.
That's what I'm thinking about.
Right. So there's a variety of things. We'll have that list for you at that same meeting. So you'll then be able to decide what you want to carry over, what you want to put right back in fund balance, what you want to give back to the schools, if you want to use it for anything. But principally, we're pushing towards fund balance as much as possible.
In addition to, so every year we send out requests for departments that want to have carryover of their funds. If for some reason they couldn't finish a project within the fiscal year,
no, that makes sense.
Some other reason. So we have, how many requests do we have? Four or five. So we'll be coming back to the board to present those requests probably the first or second meeting in November.
I have a few questions. Okay. On the public safety side, what were some of the reasons why those numbers were higher? I understand the CSA side.
What's your public safety?
The lower expenditures?
Yeah.
I think I think it was personnel for the sheriff. The sheriff's was all personnel related.
Vacancy savings, probably.
Vacancy savings. E-911, same thing, personnel.
But are we having challenges hiring people? Is that the issue?
I would let the sheriff talk
about that.
The vacancies, is it due to having problems hiring people? You spoke about being pulled away to the state police.
We had a couple vacancies, and then a short period we have one deployed to Afghanistan, which will continue into this fiscal year we're in now. But other than that, we're currently fully staffed and dispatching well on the Sheriff's Department side.
Okay.
Other than the one person being deployed, this comp board paid positions so that money was.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's an emergency management. They were under budget by $76,000, and that was primarily due to the UVA contract. Well, $50,000 of that, roughly around $50,000, was that contract.
Was the contract eliminated or changed?
No,
it was just reduced costs.
Reduced costs.
The longer they have to do, like when they've got calls right at the end of the shift, and they've got people on overtime, and then another shift on. The less that happens, then the better the savings is. So we always estimate $600,000 for that contract, and it's pretty close. But this year there were some savings times because there weren't as many overruns and things.
Great. And on the presentation here, I would recommend putting it in percentage, because obviously the numbers can pop based on the size.
You'll get percentages on these as we get done. The problem is these are so preliminary that it's hard to put percentages there now, and then people are going to start remembering percentages. I'd rather not have the real figures on the audited figure. So in the next 60 days, you'll have all these with percentages and numbers.
Think it makes sense to put as much back into the fund balance as we can.
Yeah.
We've depleted it quite
some. We definitely need it back, but you're going to need, you know, $2, $3, or $4 million of that for Zion Crossroads. Yep.
Unfortunately.
Alrighty. Yep. Thank you, Mr. Dahl. Yep. We will now move to our second round of public comments. Anyone wishing to address the board should come to the podium and state your name and address. Please remember to keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic directed to the board. Anyone wishing to speak at this time? Yes, sir.
Brian Chambers, I came before the board the last meeting. My purpose in coming tonight is to clear up confusion with interpretation of a 3-year deed restriction on the transfer of family property. I'm not the only surveyor that has confusion about the issue. There are about 3 others. And what it is, what it boils down to is we've got a situation where I've got a family, each member can receive a piece of property, but the parents are desiring to hold off giving property to the children for about a year. Well, according to the 3-year deed restriction, they cannot do this. I had always interpreted the 3-year deed restriction as being something that applied to transfer of property outside of the family, and I came before the board the last time to get the board's consensus on what they wanted to, what they felt. I received comment from the planning department that said this wording is straightforward, it transferred to no one during that 3-year period. Does the board have any instructions for me? Are they in concurrence with the planning department? I need to know what to tell my colleagues.
Mr. Chairman, that's not an appropriate question, because this board acts with respect to construing the subdivision ordinance in an appellate position. This is Mr. Stewart's determination. Mr. Stewart has given a determination. And one of the problems with what Mr. Chambers is asking for is he's asking hypothetical questions. And it's, in my judgment, inappropriate for the board to be answering hypothetical questions that are properly in the province of the staff. And the staff, in turn, should be answering actual questions. That is, if there's a proposal here for a subdivision, whether family division or otherwise, let it be submitted, reviewed in due course, and an answer be given that will be definitive. So my suggestion would be, Mr. Chambers has brought this to your attention, he's brought it to the staff's attention. That's a perfectly appropriate thing to do, but I do not think it's appropriate for the board to be construing the application of the ordinance to a particular set of facts when those facts are largely hypothetical.
Okay.
How, sir, are they hypothetical?
I don't want to be in the business of debating this with Mr. Chambers. That's my advice to the board.
Okay. Anyone have anything to say? Mr. Chambers, thank you for bringing it to us, and we will be discussing this. And someone will get back in touch with you.
Thank you, sir.
Right? Thank you, sir. Anyone else wish to speak at this time? Seeing no one, I'll now close the second round of public comment. We have no closed meeting tonight.
Can I have something to ask? Do we have some new signs up about Pleasant Grove or something that I've seen?
Not new ones. They've been there for a number of months now around the interchange.
And they're so huge.
You're talking about the blue sign?
The blue one?
Yeah. They've been there.
I just noticed the one. And the one up here?
Yeah.
And it looks like it's sitting so close to the highway.
Yeah. The VDOT installs those.
Yeah.
So they're to their specs.
Right.
All right. You don't want to be signing. Okay.
Something on this?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I gave you all a copy of that audit. Wayne had found in file when we were clearing out files and stuff. It is the most interesting, cool document.
Was
I mean, I used to prepare documents like that. But look through it to see the.
That's how that was.
Like $10 to Confederate veteran to attend reunion or other stuff through there. And the familiarity, the names on the different boards and commissions through there, it's a very interesting document. So I just gave you a copy.
Of Spacey has,
Captain John.
It was tight.
See,
right?
Is that
that's
hand
tight? Yeah.
I looked at it. Was that $27 million was the budget back then? No, that was 27,000,
right?
Yeah.
All right. Pretty weird. Your name is in there.
Well, I'm sure.
So just remember, next meeting we'll get this on your calendar. 5:30 Morris Room dinner.
Right. 7 o'clock meeting.
Council, and then over here for 7 o'clock.
And you'll put it on our iPad anyway.
We'll get it to you.
And now this.
Right, and this is from the library. This is annual statistics from Ms. Hoffman. And these are really great numbers on here, but what's really going to be good is when these kind of numbers
get some, like a 5-year history on them, and they go on the new data dashboard. And that way everybody will have access to those kind of, that kind of information on a regular basis. But a nice summary there of the last year.
I was in there the other day, and I tell you the truth, I had to really fight myself to go home. So peaceful.
So Brian, is this going to be a record?
No.
No, but it's close.
Close. Was there a bet?
I don't know. I have no idea. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
No, sorry.
Do we have a second? We have a motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye.
Bye-bye.